Welcome to the Jabbercast with Big JD and Lippo. Talk radio on the go, where we talk about anything and everything with a new topic every week. From the awesome candy you ate as a kid and sibling rivalry to public restrooms, coffee versus tea, and who reads on the toilet. You get it all here at the Jabbercast podcast. Talk radio on the go. Listen when you want and where you want. Copyright 2006, Big JD and Lippo. All rights reserved. Listener feedback encouraged. Some conditions apply. Open mind sold separately.
Hello and welcome to the Jabbercast.
I'm Lippo.
And I'm Big JD.
How are we doing today, Big JD?
Doing okay. Wonderful Sunday morning.
Beautiful Sunday morning. I guess you were busy this morning. You did some recording besides this with your brother?
Yeah, working on his new CD, so.
Is he going to put it up on iTunes too? He sees all the money you're making.
No. There's nothing to see here.
Never mind the man behind the curtain.
Yeah. Pay no attention to this man behind the curtain. No.
Okay, just curious.
I don't think it's going to be... I don't know.
I was listening to some Wicked Angel last night, actually.
You were?
Yeah.
Where'd you find that?
On my iTunes.
Oh.
Some Black Shark and some Shotgun Mama.
Oh, yeah.
And,
awesome.
Cotton of Ice.
So was I.
Were
you? Funny? No. Yeah. I was looking at them, though. They're on my desktop.
Oh, they're on your desktop, yeah.
Yeah.
That stuff, especially the Cotton of Ice stuff, Wicked Angel, that sounds really good.
Yeah, that was done
the
really
production
well.
Is really good, yeah. I think.
Yeah. That was done by some... That was originally, we had started that... for the one of those riff WRIF compilations, you know how they put out the riff homegrown
motor city, yeah.
Or something
back then,
and that's what that was for. And we had done we actually swindled, though, because our manager knew the producer in the studio, and it was at Crane Studio. Crane were some big people. They had a big Montro Music, I think, and all that stuff
was
going on over there.
Nice.
Anyway, so our manager was in with the somebody from the studio, so we slipped in two songs because we'd have like a demo kind of thing, you know what
nice.
I mean?
Nice.
So we were doing two tunes. One was going to be for the other thing, and then there was a falling out. The band had a falling out with the owners of the studio. The producer had a falling out with the studio. We had to actually go steal our tapes out of the studio. It was madness.
A little
the
clandestine
whole thing was
operation.
Just crazy. And so we got our stuff out of there, and then that was Black Shark and the Beast, and then the rest of a CD that we had done in the studio where the producer left and opened his own studio, and they owned Krajenki, auto dealer over there.
Oh yeah,
that's who they were. Yeah.
That's big.
The son. So that's who did that, produced that.
Cool.
He's a pretty good rock and roll guy.
Then the CD after that was done over at. In South Windsor here. Was that Mark Plankey?
We did some stuff with... I never actually recorded with Plankey. We did Gennaro.
Oh, that's
stuff
what
at Gennaro's, and we did some stuff with Kaharik. And both those things came out pretty good, actually. And,
the snare sounds...
That's
the only thing I thought was the snare on the one CD. Was just like, why'd they keep that?
Oh, from the Gennaro.
Yeah.
Yeah, Gennaro's studio was... honestly, he had like the nicest place.
Mm-hmm.
People knew nothing about anything.
Yeah.
So I actually had to... go back in there, and Jack did a lot for me. You know what I mean? I had a nice deal going with Jack,
right?
To do some recording there and stuff. And I ended up having to go back there and tell him, can you just lock me in there and let me do a remix of everything? And I had to actually redo all the stuff, even that you probably have.
Is that right?
Yeah. And I just got what I could get out of, even the way some things were set up and mic'd, and I didn't have a lot of say. In the beginning, until I heard how bad it was and said, let me just try and fix, salvage it.
This is not what I had in mind. So, anyway, that was just a side jump into the world of Wicked Angel.
Yeah.
People want to know more about Wicked Angel.
WickedAngel.ca.
Cool. Awesome. What else is going on in your life?
I think the band's taking over the site, actually, so there's going to be a lot more cool content on there in the near future. So
awesome.
What's going on in my life? Nothing. And what's up with you?
Not too much. We're getting some gigs. The band King Friday is...
KingFridayRocks.com.
Yes, that's right. And what else is going on?
I sent you a link to that, to the Bushman contest thing, and I was thinking to myself, why don't you enter some kind of contest somewhere, heart plan?
Yeah, there's a couple guys in there that were just, okay.
Yeah. Like, it was just, and it didn't seem like it was much of a big to-do either. Like, they come up and, now I'm going to do this, and, did the little thing.
Yeah, they
didn't
put it
in. It
didn't
seem like it was a big, exciting thing, and they weren't even on a stage.
Yeah, they didn't put it into context. Like, where are these people? Are they like on the side of a stage at a carnival somewhere?
Yeah, I saw equipment on a stage there.
Yeah,
and
it's like
I'm
a
wondering
band
if it was maybe different places they hold it too. You know, like I don't know. You know, maybe. So it could be at an event already, but I'm wondering, why don't you enter a contest somewhere? Do they have them around? That would be pretty cool.
As long as Kelly doesn't show up, I'd be happy to.
But if he did show up, it would make you want to play even all the more better.
For sure.
Because Lipo's an awesome harp player. He is.
I'm okay. I get by. As long as it's blues-based really stuff. I went and saw him, what was it, not this past weekend.
And you played with him?
No. He played with Patrick Ballantyne and Aaron Garner.
Okay. I thought, didn't I see a picture of you somewhere playing with somebody, though? I thought with Mr. Chill.
I have never played live harmonica with Mr. Chill. He's played with King Friday.
But maybe that's what, I don't know, are there pictures of that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, maybe
there's pictures of everything.
Yeah, there is.
There's a record.
You name it, there's pictures of
it. There's records of everything. There's records of actually this show right now.
There's records of my back slice.
Oh, how's your back slice doing?
Hurts.
It still hurts. Every move
I make. Yeah, well, it's a scab now, so it pulls, you know what I mean? And hurts.
Does Lena do anything for you as far as that goes?
Well, no, I just leave it like it is right now. I don't cover it and put stuff on it or anything. It's like healed scab, you know what I mean? So right. You want to leave that air now.
So what about taking, I want to say chakras, it's chaga.
Is that chaga.
Chaga.
Oh, yeah, that made it scab up right away. You should look into chaga.
I will, for sure.
And she's got like more friends coming. Everybody wants to sell it, and they are. And she got people come from work all the time, and they want her to help them just set it up online so they know what to do. Like,
does that help you out, though? Sell. When they sell something, do you guys make something out of it?
Oh, yeah. Everybody does.
So it's kind of...
Anybody that does, yeah. It's got the pyramid thing going on. Yeah. But it is actually amazing. And the things that have gone on so far are really cool. And I was thinking myself, like, because I take chaga twice a day, and I'm thinking, I don't know, I'm relatively healthy, and so I don't really notice a lot of things that some people say.
Relatively healthy.
They say, some of them felt more energy right away, and they just swear by it and can't live without it, and they get put on the monthly supply that just comes to them all the time, and all kinds of different things. And I've seen things happen firsthand from me getting really sick last Sunday.
Right.
And then in the morning, I like felt better already. I like doubled up on the stuff, and my thing healing up, like, it scabbed really fast. I put chaga on it.
Chaga. Now, right, people want to know more about chaga. Where do they go?
They can go to my chaga, and that's CH, MYCHAGA/ Oppen, OPPEN.
.com.
No. My chaga, let's say, mychaga.com/ Oppen, OPPEN. They can buy right from us, and they can get in on the opportunity if they want.
And it's a capsule form?
It's just a small bottle and it's droplets.
Droplets.
You would just drop it in any, you know, cool or cold drink, whatever, or on food or something.
And what is one dose? 2 drops or?
10 drops.
10 drops is one dose.
I take it in the morning, I take it at night.
And how much is a month's worth of supply?
If you pay the $39 like to sell product and be a distributor, basically, and they give you a free website and everything, it's like $39 a year to do that. And the chaga is $44 a bottle, I think.
If you pay the $40.
Yeah, and if you're not and just want to buy chaga, I think it's $59 for a bottle.
So within 4 months, you pay for yourself.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's way better to do that no matter what, even if you're just getting it yourself. And they have orders where you can get more if you wanted, like, say, for a family or something. And you save a little bit of money there, too, because it's like, you know, for shipping or whatever would be cheaper on the more you buy, because it's all one shipping shipping cost.
So how'd you get turned on a chaga? Chaga.
Lana was looking for something as potent as possible, with the best reputation as an antioxidant and immune booster for her brother, because he stopped his chemo. Mm-hmm. And his blood results, because he's had cancer, and his blood test results have never been better than when he's been on chaga. And he's been on it for like 3 months. As soon as he stopped chemo, he's been on chaga. Then he went for his blood tests, and everything's great. Best yet. So, and her mother, she's got diabetes, but she doesn't even take her medication anymore. Perfect. And another guy at work had really irregular blood sugar levels, and his doctors can't even believe it. He just takes chaga now and swears by it. He said it keeps his sugar regulated. It's the only thing he's been fighting with it for years. So anyway, that's chaga. mychaga.com/ Oppen. And at the top it says this site belongs to Jeff and Lana or something like that. So
cool.
So you always have to order from somebody like that, like a distributor or whatever. So anyway, it's cool. And it's a great income on the side, I got to say. It's cool.
Can't go wrong.
She's been doing good. So
awesome.
Anyway.
News.
And straight from the newsroom floor, and the walls, and the ceiling, it's time for news from around the world, and sometimes out of this world, from Big JD and Lippo. Let's head over to the newsroom.
What's happening in the world today?
Well, unfortunately, one of a Hollywood icon has basically passed away. The guy who makes your salad dressing.
Wow. Sinatra.
What?
Paul McCartney.
No, he just did a show in Israel. Shore. It's Paul Newman, before we get too out of hand.
Newman.
No, you can't. You're wrecking it. Okay. It's Paul Newman. You can't do that to Paul Newman.
No, he is an icon.
He's friggin' cool. He's been around forever. He's got a great reputation, and you know,
raindrops keep falling on my head.
Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. Yeah, he did a lot of great movies, actually.
Absolutely, and then directed a lot.
Then he directed lots of movies as well, and then he did the whole food thing, which was all for charity.
The food thing.
It was all for charity.
What was it? He had his own line of food.
Well, his own line of food, like
Newman.
Don't do that. Chili sauce, and of course the salad dressing is way popular because a lot of restaurants picked
it
up.
What was it called? Paul Newman? Or Newman? Or
Paul Newman's. Paul Newman's dressing. Something salad dressing, yeah.
Paul Newman's dressing.
Yeah.
He is?
Yeah, he's dressing for his funeral right now.
Well, just don't talk like that.
Exactly. So, I was just looking at his, I went on to IMDb, which is the, it's the movie database. Is it international? Okay. Is that what the I stands for? International Movie Database? Anyway,
yeah, I think so.
IMDb. And he was in a lot of TV shows before he ever even played in one movie.
He was in The Hustler with Jackie Gleason.
The Hustler with Jackie Gleason. The very first movie he was ever in was The Silver Chalice in 1954, which that really surprised me that he did a bunch of TV before he did that movie. Yeah, there was Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, The Hustler, Playhouse 90. Remember that movie?
Mm-hmm.
There's a ton of HUD. Remember HUD?
What is that? HUD.
That was he was HUD Mannion. I'm trying to think what that was about. I'm not positive. Anyway, Torn Curtain, Cool Hand Luke.
Yeah.
Of course, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. The Life and Times of Judge Roy Bean. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
The Sting.
Yeah, great movie.
More awesome. I was waiting for you to.
That wasn't that though. The Sting is a.
Oh, you're right. That's right.
We were thinking Deliverance.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Oink, oink.
Oh, I just saw another one.
You ever seen Deliverance?
Yes. That's okay.
Which favorite part?
Burt Reynolds. Is that in that?
Burt Reynolds and. Forget everybody else.
And then one of my favorite movies was Slapshot.
Hockey movie.
Yeah, that was a great movie. Get right back to where we started from. Remember that tune?
Yes, I do.
The Verdict. The Color of Money. Another great movie. Now we're getting into modern stuff.
Hey, speaking of money and stuff, whatever happened with our contest?
What contest?
The Jabbercast contest.
Oh, we totally forgot all about it, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. And wow. The emails have been just pouring in, and nobody wins.
I wanted to win the contest.
I want to mention something. Spore. Is it Spore, the game?
Spore is the game.
It's a new thing.
Yeah?
It's a big new thing from the Sims guy.
Sims guy, yeah.
Yeah, they got Spore for Mac, and you create your own... that's this big new thing. Create your own creatures.
You're the tech world. News guy.
Isn't that something?
Holy moly.
Well, Spore, I could have saved that for tech, I guess.
You could have. Yeah, that's not even news.
Because I also wanted to talk about the tainted milk crisis. More global companies. Snackers beware, they say. Oreo fillings, though, Oreo cookie fillings contain no milk. But chocolate-filled Koala brand cookies and White Rabbit creamy candies do. I don't really know what those candies are.
Those are Chinese candies.
Are they Chinese?
Yes. We don't get any of that crap over here.
Roll call companies facing potential recalls grew Friday as reports of contamination of foods by the industrial chemical melamine spread to a widening range of products.
Yeah. They put melamine in products so that it'll give them a higher protein count when they count the protein.
Yeah, you got to watch that whole protein thing.
You know, I really hate the fact that, you know, people are getting sick from this, especially kids in China. Like, there's tens of thousands of kids. But on the other hand, I'm kind of glad that there's...
Do you think that at all, in any way, that these things happen for a reason? Or that they happen because somebody wants them to happen? Because there's a lot of people in China. And the world
really?
Is very heavily populated.
Yes.
And... there is a lot of talk that at, by some point in time, they don't want that many people on the world.
Well, yeah, you're only allowed to have one kid. It's the law in China. Yeah, no more than one kid.
But I don't know what's going on in the world these days, but I wouldn't put it past powers that be, because there's ways for them to, you know...
Control the population.
Control population, sure.
Absolutely. And
population control is a big thing on the, you know, in the
this is a subject of, all you know. Itself. Because if you go to my Facebook thing, I'm starting to rant. I'm doing a note at least every week.
On
stuff that's happening, like this whole financial crisis.
Oh.
That is the same people who orchestrated 9/11 are the same people who are orchestrating this. It may seem like just a natural sequence of events, bad management, people, short traders. We just got into this mess, derivative markets and all that. No, no. This was all, it's planned. It's a planned thing so we can have an economic catastrophe.
And as this was growing, I had heard things on the radio and things like that. And my mother, you know, she's been going through this whole thing with her house and the fact that she is not able to find out who her mortgage is paid to. And nobody will talk to her. Nobody wants to give her information. And it's like, it's her house. She can't get any information. Nobody wants to talk to her. And her mortgage has changed hands more times than she can even figure out.
That's the problem.
Doesn't know where the money goes. Yet it gets paid.
Yeah. Some numbers have to line up and it gets
somewhere.
Tossed. Somewhere it
and
lands.
She's got more than one, I forget what the numbers I'm thinking, her mortgage numbers. I forget what they're called. You know, then whatever that is, I can't recall.
A roll number?
Names are. No, it's not a roll number. But she seemed to now come across two of them. And the hands have changed so much and even gone through some of the same places again. And Chase is like one of the biggest things in the whole mix.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's really crazy.
Yeah.
And then, I guess I can say something about it. Well, it's somebody that I know in the U.S. whose father has knows a lot about these things that go on behind the scenes with the homes and everything. And he actually lives in a house that's under foreclosure for almost 2 years now. And he doesn't pay anything and doesn't pay on his mortgage. And nobody can do anything about it because his father has the smarts of what to do of the fact that he doesn't have to pay it because no money was actually given to him for the mortgage somehow. And there's this whole loophole thing and he doesn't pay it. And he just laughs. He says, no, we don't pay it. We don't even get anything to pay our mortgage anymore. Nothing. They don't want us here, but it's in the court system now and nobody can do anything about it. And they take out bonds to pay the mortgage. And now the mortgage is actually the situation is in the court system, but the thing is awaiting its mortgage payout. And if they get the okay that the mortgage has been paid out, then it's done and he doesn't owe anything on the mortgage.
Yeah, nice.
And then the bond money somehow comes back to them because for some reason, somehow you have a worth, at least in the U.S., and the bonds somehow tie into that and they get money back somehow from the bonds and they will actually be awaiting a huge sum of money.
Right, they're going to make money from not paying their mortgage.
Yeah, it's insane. And I can't even... I just a smile on my face and that's it. I don't get it.
You say, I love this.
It's really wacky.
It's wacky but it's, over there. What's going on? The financial situation is definitely, that's part of the problem.
I guess that, And those that know that with the loophole thing too, and it probably just escalates and creates even worse situation, but
for every,
I'd be all over that.
For every dollar that a company over here, it's a bank, but you can get a mortgage from almost anybody over there. Like there's a, money market institutions, there's banks, there's credit unions, there's all kinds of places you can get a mortgage. And for every dollar that one of these institutions has, they can lend $9 to $15 out. Because it's just numbers on a sheet. So the fact that I have this dollar means I can lend it out 9 to 15 times.
Yeah.
And I'm going to collect interest from that, which is going to equal way more than the $1 that I have. Mm-hmm. Just the interest, let alone the actual principal.
So there's no money going out for anybody to buy anything. And there's no money, like, really within the companies and everything. There is no money.
Basically. And then when the house is foreclosed, all these people are left holding the bag because the money that...
Yeah, and then the government gets the home, too, though.
Well, they don't want the nobody wants the homes.
Well, no, but it gets, it goes, just, it's, the whole thing happens again.
That's what
basically.
Your buddy's probably stuck in. Nobody, it's like, okay, they're going to foreclose on their mortgage, but what's going to happen with that? Like, the bank doesn't want your house because they can't sell it because there's nobody buying houses.
Yeah, I don't know what.
So they're stuck with worthless negative amounts on their mortgage. And on top of that, there's insurance companies, which is, you know, AIG is one of the insurance companies that got bought out. Mm-hmm. They insure those loans. So for every dollar that is lent out, they can insure that for 10 times that amount. It's just piles on top of piles of baloney.
And what's going to happen in the future? Madness.
I think our dollar is going to be worth nothing. It's going to be hyperinflation. That's my opinion anyway. And it's going to either come crashing down, and there's going to be an actual, the people are going to rise up and do something over there. The people with the guns. Mm-hmm. And something crazy could happen. Or the government is just going to put in some kind of system where we're going to, you know, we're going to have to ride out the next 10 years or whatever.
Have you heard of webbot predictions?
Webbot predictions?
Yeah.
No, I haven't. I know what webbots are, but what's webbot predictions?
A system by where the language that people are using and on the computer, and it takes all that information and sorts through the changes in what people say anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And they make predictions on that. And they can tell things that are happening and going to happen with amazing accuracy.
The algorithms they
just
use. From what was said before and what happened from what was said in the past, now what's being said. And
by picking up, and it's like trends and words.
Exactly.
And that's what it goes by. And it's pretty amazing. And that's all kind of ties into all the things that are going on. And they predict a lot of these things with the financial situation and, of course, the elections.
But this all started with us saying the population control.
Yeah.
In the Great Depression, what'd they say? How many people? 10% of the
wasn't
people.
Wasn't so great, but.
No, wasn't so great. But supposedly 10% or a little less of the population died of starvation in whenever that was. So I think the number was 700,000 of people died of starvation in.
When was the Depression? Was it 29 or
29,
something?
29, like So. They're saying that if it's 10% again now, that's 3 million people.
Oh, I was just listening to a show on world population and population control, and it's just the figures are staggering and what they think of how many people there will be in the near future.
But population growth in the world is going down, is it not? Or it's remaining pretty low, 1% growth, whatever, as opposed to like 60s, 70s. It was like going up like crazy.
Yeah, and some of it I think is due to the rules that they have enforced in areas.
Excuse me.
For babies and stuff. But we should probably get into our show topic today.
You think?
Which is, what is it exactly is what I want to know.
It's giving up, giving in. Or giving in, giving up, which is a county in southern Mississippi.
What is?
Giving up, giving in, giving up.
No, it isn't.
Yeah.
No.
You never heard that?
No. I haven't.
Giving up, Mississippi.
Giving in and giving up.
Yeah, there it is.
When you just can't take anymore, and why give up, and why do we lose our fight, and how do we lose our will, what is it that breaks us, and what is it that keeps us going, and what kinds of circumstances make us lose hope?
That sounds like a pretty...
That's probably pretty easy to happen for most people, I would think.
You think?
Yeah.
Well, it all has to do with your will, does it not?
I guess so.
If you have a strong will...
The power.
What's that?
The will is the power.
The will is the power, yes. So if you have a strong will...
To continue hoping or to continue carrying on through things...
You have to be focused and you have to be able to visualize the end result, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And
you got to be able to step out of the picture, I think. In a lot of cases, and look from the outside in sometimes.
Perfect.
Rather than from the inside looking out, because that's when people tend to lose their willpower or...
Commit suicide.
They don't see the whole picture, really. You know, they're stuck in the situation. And, you know, everybody on the outside will always offer advice and things like that. But when you're on the inside, it's much more difficult, I would say.
Yeah, you definitely have to look outside. And just doing that one thing alone.
We're looking outside right now.
We are looking outside on the beautiful Detroit River. Mm-hmm. But seriously, looking out is that's a big thing in itself. I mean, yes, you have to look from the outside, but just to get away from the train of thought you're on, because it seems like it gets tighter and tighter and tighter. Eventually, you have like this tunnel vision.
By no means is it easy. You know what I mean? To escape whatever you're stuck in, being on the inside of, you know, whatever it is or whatever situation you're in or anything like that. It's very difficult. And I think most of the time people won't or can't do that.
Right.
Or they, in some cases, I think that it's not even that they can't, but they won't, because they don't think that they can. Or they think that they have to go through it, ride it out somehow. Whereas, you know, you don't always have to do that. If you can step back somehow. But because you don't always realize that, you can't even take advice sometimes.
Right.
You know, from somebody else that's on the outside looking in.
It's tough.
Yeah.
Have you ever been in that situation yourself?
I'm sure I have, but I kind of have a different approach most of the time, I think. I have I can usually step back and look at the whole situation, and I'm usually happy because I don't really care about anything. So it usually works for me.
I don't care about anything, he says.
So it usually works for me pretty good. I don't get depressed or...
Or what?
Or anything like that, you know what I mean? Like, very often... I can't think of any, you know what I mean? Right. Sure, things will bring you down or you go through things, but you put things in, you know, if you can put things into perspective, then I think you'd be better for it in the end.
Well, that's the whole stepping outside thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the only way we can get a true perspective of what's going on.
Yeah. And I seem to have the ability to do that pretty good, I think. So things don't usually bother me.
Because you don't care.
Yeah. That's what boils down to more than anything. Selfishness and uncaring. And then I get by. Nothing can affect you.
I think we all have coping mechanisms that are...
That's exactly what it is. It's a coping mechanism.
Right.
And if I didn't have that coping mechanism, yeah, I'd be just a big mess.
You're still a big mess.
I'd be screaming and crying and kicking right now. I'd be sobbing on your shoulder like a big baby. And you'd be comforting me.
This must be the weekend close to the end of the month, because I see some mattresses moving out of that place next door there.
Yeah, the end of the month, eh? So what's that mean there? Like, you don't move anywhere from there. You don't go anywhere from there.
I think
it's the end of the month. It's the end of time for you over there.
End of times for those.
That's why the mattresses get taken out.
Right, exactly.
Well, let's take grandma's mattress to the dump.
Or it might be a new mattress. Bring it home.
Maybe somebody got it, but we didn't see them bring the new one in. And taking the old one out. Or it might be, yeah.
No, you know what I mean.
I don't know about that.
You know what I mean?
Oh, like we just bought grandma a mattress like 10 days ago. And she died on it. So right. Let's bring it home and sleep on it.
Exactly.
Would you do that?
Yes. Yeah. It's a mattress. There's nothing more.
Yeah, but when you die, you lose control of all your bodily functions. And there's...
Well, if you died in bed, that's a different story.
Yeah.
Hopefully you died in a hospital.
And all the slobbered food and diaper...
Then I will not sleep on
mishaps
that.
Mishaps and no. Stains everywhere on it. But it's new. Like, it was bought like 5 days ago. It was crapped and thrown up on and everything.
It's wrecked. It's done. Hopefully she died.
Horse bags of feces.
Okay, easy. Holy moly.
See what I mean? I don't care.
Obviously, no. People are eating their Sunday morning breakfast here.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah. Sunday morning.
Over easy.
Live.
What else got in your notes there as far as the giving up show goes?
Oh, all kinds of things. All kinds of things. I had my webpage. Are dark clouds looming over your life? If so, it doesn't necessarily follow that a storm is approaching.
I want to play some music underneath.
That's kind of a neat concept, though. Dark clouds looming over your life. It doesn't necessarily mean that a storm is approaching.
Right. It just could be an opportunity for change.
Sure.
Change in the weather.
That's why you must keep the flame of hope burning in your heart.
That's right.
Just storms may rage, but don't let them extinguish hope.
Exactly, which could be this whole economic thing. You know, things are going to get really tough for a lot of people. I have a feeling.
Yeah, yeah. What goes on in the world affects everybody, and can affect some people worse than others. And that's another thing too. You know, I think is the preparation. You know, if you are anticipating job loss or a sickness or a death or something like that, I mean, you can prepare for that.
Anticipating sickness? That's not cool.
Well, I don't mean anticipating, I guess, but I mean...
job loss, you can anticipate that. You can see the writing on the wall a lot of times, but anyway.
Well, you know, somebody's going through something and not feeling good, and they're waiting tests or something, and you think, you know, something's probably really wrong with this person, or somebody's got some fatal disease or whatever, you know what I mean?
Like, sure.
So, but if you anticipate it, what's going to happen... then you can maybe have better control over the situation when it comes, mm-hmm. rather than, you know, try to avoid it totally or you know, just not think anything of it or pass it off. And then when the real thing hits, you know what I mean? It can really take a toll on you and depress you and all that sort of thing.
Send you for a loop.
Sure. But when you realize what's going on and plan for it, you know, realize that, you know, I'm going to go through this. You know, maybe I should be putting extra money away. Maybe I should be putting whatever away. You know, maybe we can't afford this right now. Maybe something's going to happen to, you know, Uncle so-and-so. So we have to plan this or plan that.
Yeah.
Those types of things. So it's not always simple, but.
It's rarely simple, but sometimes it is simple.
You know, if you really think about it when you're not in a situation... you can think and realize how simple it really is.
Exactly.
But no, it's not when you're going through it.
Yeah. I was confronted with my dad having to possibly move out of his place he's in now because of a money situation.
Right.
Turns out there was a very simple, I'm not going to get into it, but it was a very simple thing. And I was like worried for a month, a week. I was worried for about a week. Mm-hmm. Me and my sister were talking to each other and then... out of the blue, just like, I wasn't even thinking about that. It was like out of my mind. And all of a sudden, I just thought, well, why don't I just add? It was a simple thing. I'm like, solution. Sure enough, boom.
Yeah.
All set up. Easy.
And I think it's important, too, that if you are going through something, too, not everybody has the right advice necessarily, but if you can at least take in advice from maybe different sources and try to, you know, kind of weed through what might help you or work best for you, mm-hmm. or have somebody, you know what I mean, instead of going it alone. And in a lot of cases, if it's somebody that you normally can trust, and then if you can realize to listen, which is hard.
It's very hard.
You almost have to establish that before. Like, if I'm going to go through something or this is coming up, I got to realize that, you know, my wife or my husband or somebody, I have to listen, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that can be really difficult, but it can save you too.
That's right. Yeah. And that's...
two heads are better than one, they say.
That's right. And sometimes advice that might strike you as absolutely not the right thing to do could be the best advice. Like, you know, sometimes you get advice that you didn't even think of and you say... never thought of that. That's a great idea.
Yeah. But other times, I wouldn't have done that. Yeah.
Right. But the other time, someone will give you a piece of advice and you go, I ain't doing that.
Yeah. Well, a lot of times you got to trust your gut. But in those certain situations, in a lot of cases, you aren't trusting your gut at all. So why don't we move on to a Sunday Morning Music Mayhem?
All right.
Sunday Morning Music Mayhem, a weekly tune that we think you'll dig. Brought to you by Big JD's Rare Rock and Heavy Metal Show at BigJD.com and by the Border City Radio Podcast at BorderCityRadio.com.
Okay, this wonderful Sunday morning, we're going to wake you up with a little bit of Slipknot from the newest CD called All Hope Is Gone.
All right.
This is the title track, All Hope Is Gone. We'll be right back. Okay, there you have a little bit of Slipknot for you this morning.
What do you think of the new Slipknot as of the whole CD?
I like it. Cool. Very heavy. Yeah, different. They've taken a turn for their,
And it seems like it's doing
last
good.
Couple CDs.
That was a band I would have never thought would still be around in 2008.
But I liked old Slipknot too. And the other thing is that there's some really good singing on there, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, he's out of control most of the time, but there's some of it is some really good singing. And I would like to see a whole album like that. That's like Helmet. The guy from Helmet, he sings two different ways.
Yes.
There's some stuff that's out of control, heavy singing that there never seems to be like that, the right hook or the right, nothing really there.
Yeah.
But the ones where he does sing really well in and sing in a normal voice, like, they're really, really good.
Exactly. I think a lot of newer bands out there, they have at least two. They got,
and then I find a lot of the Victory Records bands are like that.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Sing straight out of control, and then they're singing nice. Hey. And somebody else that you would never expect was a phenomenal singer. You ever heard the band Venom?
Of course.
The singer from Venom, Kronos, who's just totally out of control, is an amazing singer.
Really?
Yeah. He's got like a couple of solo CDs, and they were just amazing. I couldn't even believe it. And you can tell it is him because you can tell his voice, but he sings phenomenally.
Cool.
Phenomenally. So let's move on to the Jabber quote.
All right. Jabber quote, Jabber quote, Jabber quote. Jabber quote, Jabber quote, Jabber quote. Loose sink ships. Stitching tabs in nine. One hand with two in the bush. Jabber quote, Jabber quote, Jabber quote.
What Slippo got for us today?
Let me check my Evernote.
A Jabber quote brought to us by
Stephen Leary, which Paul was wanted to make sure that I had told you I had met Stephen.
Yeah, yeah.
I said, if you listened to the show, you would have known that we mentioned your name on the show and gave you credit for hooking Lippo up with Steve, who is now selling psychotherapy.
Hairbrushes.
Psycho hairbrushes.
What's he selling?
Psychosomatic lessons on how to not give up hope and always live
on the corner of
Wabash and Strabane in beautiful Burbank, California, right next to the studio where they record Price is Right.
Ooh, yeah. Bob Barker.
Bob Barker? No, it's who's the dude?
What's my line?
No, who's the new dude?
What's my line guy? What's that show he does? Something with the comedians. Drew Carey.
No, thank you.
What's that show called? What's My Line?
No.
What's My Line Anyway?
No, it's...
What's your name? Who are you?
So glad you're here.
I love you.
I don't know.
I love you.
I don't watch enough TV.
So glad you're here. No.
What's the line they say when they first walk into the scene?
I don't know. I've never seen the beginning.
Well, it's every guy says it.
I've never seen the beginning, though.
Today's Jabber quote is from Winston Churchill.
Okay.
And he said, never, never give in. Never, never, never. In nothing, great or small, large or petty, never give in. Except to convictions of honor and good sense.
Okay, so you got to give in to something sometime.
Yeah, it's funny how he just goes on and on, never give in. Never, no matter what. Except if it's to a conviction of honor and good sense.
Honor and good sense you can give in to, as much as you don't want to.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
So it's funny how he takes it. Like, of course he's known as a wartime leader. And, it's like, no matter what, we got to win. We're right. Those people are wrong. They're trying to do whatever. And then he switches it right around. And then if you never give in, unless it's, of course, a matter of honor or good sense, of course.
Or it's your wife. We have to give in.
No, my wife usually gives in to
me. Give in or get out.
Give in or get out. Cock or walk. My way or the highway.
What was the first one you said?
I don't know. What did I say first?
I don't know.
Anyway, no giving in.
That's right.
Never, unless it's common sense to do so. Or good sense, sorry, and honor. So that's this week's Jabber quote.
And for more past shows, you can visit www.thejabbercast.com And you can email us at hearmeoutofthejabbercast.com or
go to the contact page on the Jabbercast website at www.thejabbercast.com and click on the My Chingo widget. There you will be presented with a little widget. Talk in your computer and we'll get the message and we will decide whether we'll play it on the air.
That button's had a lot of use. I don't know if it still works.
Yeah, as you can tell from all the chingos we've played on the show.
We're saving them up. For show 200, it's going to be all chingos.
200 to 250. Anyway. You know, it's cool that those hats there, those the hat that kids got on.
Yeah. It's poor boy hat, they're called, basically.
Yeah, there's a lot of those are out there now. It's kind of cool. Mm-hmm. I like those.
Leather ones. I have a similar leather one.
You got a leather one? Yeah.
Yeah. Mine's not the smooth one. It's the real, what they call the poor boy cap, I think.
Like really floppy, I mean? Is that what you mean by smooth? What do you mean by smooth?
You know, some are come around and are attached sort of to the peak part. Mine's the one with the thing on it. Like it comes down like that, but it's, you know what I mean?
Yes.
They're called poor boy hats.
Anyway, sorry. That is way off topic.
We'll save that for the hat show.
The hat show.
Didn't we do a hat show?
I thought
we did a hat or a hair show or something like that. Different hairstyles.
Maybe they do a hair show.
Yeah?
Maybe.
That'd be really sweet to do a hair show. Are you going to the hair show?
It's funny. You talk like
that. My name is Herrera Show.
There is a show that my wife started watching. It's called Sheer Genius is what it's called. Oh, okay.
I've never heard of it.
Shearing.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Haircutting thing.
A haircutting thing. And then my son, Jonas, started watching and he's right into it.
Oh, yeah?
He's thinking, maybe I want to be a hairstylist. And then I
could be a hairstylist right now. I have a buddy that owns a shop and he's always after me to come and cut hair. I'll teach you everything you want to know. And he's a pro. He does stuff for like Calvin Klein and everything. He goes to Toronto all the time to do stuff.
Cool.
But I've been reluctant to do that. I know I'd be a great hairdresser because I can talk like this anytime I want to. So I'd be just like awesome.
But then you have guys hitting on you if you start talking.
Oh, that'd be sweet.
But then the chicks really like guys like that, don't they?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
It's like every chick has some little bit of lezzy in them and then they feel like there's enough girl inside.
In them.
There's enough girl in this guy that I really like him. Yeah. I can really relate. He likes talking and he's such a good listener.
Yeah, because those kind of guys are usually really in touch with their feelings and their feminine side, and girls like that.
Yes, I know.
That's why they like other girls. Isn't that something? Save it for the Leslie show.
The Leslie show. Anyway, we got to get to the
Tech Talk.
Tech Talk with Big JD and Lippo, keeping you up to date with innovation, technology, gadgets, and more. Computers, TV, radio, and string and cans. We cover it all. Yeah, that's right.
Okay, so this week in tech on the Jabbercast. I just want to talk a little bit about faxing.
This Week in Tech. That's an actual show, by the way.
Oh, is it?
Twit. It's a Twit thing. Leo Laporte. Anyway, go ahead.
Leo DiNardo.
Faxing.
Fax is short for facsimile, or make similar, to make a copy. And so everybody, I think, knows what faxing is.
It's way better.
Send a document somehow to some place.
Not somehow, specifically, over a phone line.
Yeah, and traditional types were analog, where you'd use paper and ink, and it'd get to the other side, your document, and it would get printed basically somehow onto like a carbon type paper or something, or a roll sheet. And then there's digital transmission, and that's taking advantage of like your built-in modems in the computers. And if you don't have your document on the computer, though, you need to scan it first to be able to fax it. But that's the way to go now on the computer. Mac or PC will fax natively. And I think on Mac, it's a lot easier to fax, though. I've done both. But you can fax right from your computer. Everybody has a fax. And I think that's something that's really overlooked.
Well, a lot of people don't have their phone plugged into their computer now, though.
They don't?
No.
Why not?
Well, because they have either a cable modem or a DSL modem.
Yeah, yeah. You'd have to even get, in a lot of cases, a USB modem that has the phone jack.
Yeah, most computers aren't doing a lot.
Even the new Macs don't. But, you know, fax has kind of fallen to the wayside, but it still is a pretty big in business.
It's big in business, and you know, that's if you're a business person.
They still want fax as opposed to an email.
Yeah, they want a hard copy of that correspondence.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of times the fax machines at businesses aren't even anywhere near a computer. It's right. just a fax
yeah,
machine.
It's totally separate.
It gets spit out and yeah. piles of faxes show up. And a lot of businesses rely on, you know, you got to send us a fax of whatever, like a prescription or a doctor's note or whatever. It's got to show up by fax. We got to
yeah.
see it.
Yeah. Yeah. They can't email it, or they can't accept email, or can't get attachments. And it's the whole virus thing and getting into the networks and all that yeah. kind of stuff. So
hard copy.
Know, sometimes fax is just.
Sometimes a hard copy is a better thing to have.
But you can always print. You know, an attachment.
I know, so but I then know. You got to have a computer. And then it's just...
In, but they're always at computers. Everybody's
not,
at a computer.
Not everybody. Not all the time.
True. So, but... So, faxing, I think it's important to be able to... To fax. You know, if you don't have the modem for it, you know, spend the $30 to $50 or whatever and get the...
It's 29 bucks little dongle or something. For a Mac yeah. one, I know. The dongly thing.
Yep. It can be very handy, and your Mac or PC will fax. So
it's funny. I bought one for my iMac, and... I've never used it still in the packaging, because if I think I got a fax, I just have this portable computer that actually has the modem still built in.
Right, yeah.
And so I just take this to a phone jack and plug it in, and yep. I never end up using my iMac modem that I have with it.
It came with it?
No, I bought it. Like, added it on
yeah,
or whatever.
Same with us with the Mac, Lena's MacBook. Although I have one on my PowerBook, and I use it quite a bit. So anyway, I guess that's it for this week's Jabbercast. And next week, what have we got to look forward to on the show? That will be the introvert, extrovert. No, not your navel. Are you shy or outgoing? Are you okay in crowds? Are you a leader or a follower? Let's find out next week.
Sounds interesting.
Maybe 1 week from today.
Maybe we'll actually talk about that topic for more than 10 minutes.
Yeah. All filler, all the time.
Well, I think today's was just, there's stuff on our mind, and it's got to get out.
There's always a lot more on our mind than the show topic in a lot of cases, but...
Exactly. Depending on the topic.
It's always fun.
Yeah.
But we slide in and out of the topic.
That's what we do good. We slide in, slide out, slide back in, slide out.
And we're sliding out right now. You can join us next week here on the Jabbercast.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Yes, it's the Jabbercast Podcast. Talk radio on the go. You can visit us on the web at thejabbercast.com. You can email Big JD at thejabbercast.com or Lippo at thejabbercast.com. As well, you can get involved with the shows by sending text emails and audio emails to hearmeout@thejabbercast.com. Copyright 2006, Big JD and Lippo. All rights reserved. Listener feedback encouraged. Some conditions apply. Open mind sold separately.